Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldrith. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
To take out your Bibles and find the book of Romans in the New Testament. If you're online with us, you will find some sermon notes. They are also online in our webpage. For those of you who are here, just take those out of your ministry guide, if you would. And as we get ready to begin this morning, I want to introduce you to one of our local pastors, Pastor Will Valerie, and his wife, Brandy, and their daughter, Jordan, are with us. Will and his wife were married here in this very building, if not the first couple, one of the first couples ever married inside of this building. And some of you had a part in building that. You were still around here building when that happened. And so you did one good thing anyway. That was good. So that just says, if you've been married here, don't be surprised if God doesn't call you to be a preacher or a pastor's wife. So now some of you have been married here and say, oh, no, I didn't plan on that. The pastor didn't mention that part about one. I promised to love, honor, obey, and become a pastor or a pastor's wife. But anyway, good to have you with us. Also, Will serves as our part-time associational mission strategist here in Yavapai Mission Network. And so we appreciate the work you do for that. And so as we come to God's Word, let's pray together. Father, again, speak to our hearts and to our lives. We thank you for the opportunities that we have to share with other churches here in our area, other Southern Baptist churches. And so, Father, right now I want to pray for Will and for his family. I pray for Will and Brandy and for Jordan. I pray that your blessings would rest upon them and for their church, for the Ridge, very, very just down the street from us, Father, for the work that they do as we reach out together as Southern Baptists here in our community and in this area of Yavapai County. Father, we pray that your blessings would be on them. I pray that you'd be with whoever's preaching right now at Will's church. Pray that you would use that person. I pray that you'd speak through them. And I pray that you'd speak through me as we come now to your word. We pray, Father, that our hearts would be turned toward Jesus Christ as we deal with this very tough subject of faith. And we pray, Father, that you'd give us wisdom and that you'd give us hope, that you'd give us understanding. We pray these things in Christ's name. And all God's people said again, amen. We are talking today about more power to you, experiencing God's power through faith-filled living. And that's what this series has been about. We've looked at it for 2 weeks. We're going to look at it today, and we're going to look at it next Sunday as well. And as we do, we're talking today about build bigger. And so we talked about building this church building back in the late 80s and having it ready to go in 1991, long before some of you were even around. But God was doing things. And so sometimes when we think about building bigger, we think about buildings and we think about jobs and those types of things. But we want to talk today, though, more about building bigger in the area of our faith, because faith is the key to unlocking the power of God in your life. You want what? There's a couple of keys we want to look at today. It's the power of God for unlocking. It's a power. There's a key to unlocking the power, God's power in your life. Secondly, it's the faith is the key to opening the door of God's blessing in your life. And so, if you want God's power in your life, if you want to be blessed by God, you're going to have to tie it to faith. You're going to have to come to this faith marker and say, "Okay, God, tell me about faith. How do I do this thing? Because I want your power. I want your blessing." And we see again and again in the Bible, especially in the Gospels, God responds to people's faith. If you want him to respond to you, he's going to be looking in the area of faith. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. Remember, we looked at this verse in the first week. In chapter 9, verse 29, Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done for you. And so Jesus very clearly said that God wants to answer prayer. He wants to be able to reward your faith, but it has to be faith-based. And so we have that. And so we've already seen in the first couple of weeks that faith is not a what? It is not a feeling, because we get confused on that. We think it must be a feeling, but in fact, it has nothing whatsoever to do with your feelings. Nowhere are feelings and faith tied together in the Bible. Jesus never said, according to your feelings, it will be done to you. Remember, it's not your feelings, it's not your wants, it's not your needs. It is always your faith that he wants to reward. So he looks for faith. Faith isn't something that you feel. It is something that you decide, and then it is something that you do. So faith always has an action that goes with it. So it's not just saying, well, I'm just going to work up a feeling in my life, and then therefore God will answer as if I have great faith, because that's not what happens. And you express your faith by corresponding actions. Remember last week we talked about that. If I'm asking God to work in my life in a certain way, then I need to begin to live according to actions that correspond with what I'm asking him to do, even though he may not have done it yet. And so we have to look at, when are our actions, are they corresponding with what we're asking God to do? So if you can't stir up emotions that feel like great faith, don't worry about it, because you're not called to do that. If you have feelings, that's fine, but that's not a prerequisite for God to answer our prayers. And so today we're going to talk about how we can build our faith. It's a way that you can go from being a 98-pound faith weakling, if you will, to this really hunking, strong, brawny, muscle-adorned person of faith. And for you ladies, don't worry, you'll be okay, all right? You're thinking, I don't want to be any of those things, but you want to be that hulking, strong person of faith. Even though you look like this very nice lady, it's all right. You'll be good. And so today we're going to talk about things that will make it easier for us to understand how we ask in faith and what God is looking for, and the kind of thoughts that we need to have that are consistent with a life of faith. To know what we ought to be thinking about so that we can do those things. And it makes it easier to find that kind of action that are consistent with great faith. And those things, when we figure them out, do have a feelings part to them. Because when we figure that out, then suddenly we do start to feel good. We'll feel good about our lives. But it doesn't begin with the feelings. But those feelings will come later on. So let's talk about feelings for just a minute. I said again and again that we don't live by feelings. We live by faith. But it's not all that important how you feel, but it is important how you faith. And the world tells us, and churches tell us all the time, that we just have to feel certain ways. And that's just not going to work. It is by your faith. It's how much you trust God to fulfill his promises in your life. That's what God is looking for. And if you're like me, feelings may be up and down all the time. You found that in your life? I know I do, on a regular basis. I may get up in the morning and feel really good. I may get up the next morning and feel really cruddy. I may have a good day feeling all right until I look at the box scores of my baseball team. And depending on how the Padres, oh, did I say Padres? I'm sorry, I meant the D-backs did. I may feel really good or I may feel really bad. And I could go to bed feeling, oh man, what a lot. I can't believe it. Padres, last inning, one pitch into the ninth inning. New pitcher. So all he threw was one stinking pitch. And it was a home run. And game over. And so I thought, I might not even come to church today. Feelings can mess with us. They really do. So it's what's important is whether or not you continue to think Christ-filled thoughts, not on that if you feel like feeling Christ-filled thoughts. So good feelings will not lead you to great faith. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care what your denomination is. Good feelings never lead you to great faith. Fact is, if anything, good feelings will mislead you. They won't get you to where you thought you were going. They'll bring you to some place you don't want to be. On the other hand, great faith will lead you ultimately to good feelings about your life, and that's where you do want to be. When I'm consistently walking in faith, you know what happens? I feel better. I just do. There's a spring in my step. Problems don't slow me down as much. Criticism doesn't affect me as much. The challenges don't intimidate me as much because I'm walking in faith, not by feelings. When I'm walking in faith, I'm consistently thinking the things of God that He wants me to think, consistently doing the things God wants me to do, and I just feel better. That's God's plan for all of us as believers. That's where He wants us to be. And we can be there. You can be there. We don't have to live by our feelings, but it is sure nice when we feel good, isn't it? And so if your life has become this emotional roller coaster full of ups and downs, or even worse, if the ups are fewer and disappeared maybe altogether, you can experience those again. The key to feeling better is found in focusing your feelings. Not on focusing your feelings, rather, but on your thinking. Maybe right now you're thinking, life is so lousy. I really could stand a strong drink. Maybe I'm just going to order a pizza. Maybe I'm just going to focus on making a lot more money, and that'll make me feel better. Maybe I'll have a fling at work. People do all those things and far more. And maybe you've tried some of those, and you figured out they don't get you where you want to be. They don't make you feel better. They may make you feel better for a few minutes, for a few days, but then everything's going to crash and burn around you. Don't buy in to the feelings lie. You don't want to be there. That's not where you want to live. I've been talking about and emphasizing for 2 weeks now, walking in faith means consistently thinking the right thoughts that are consistent with taking the right steps of actions. And when you do that, that opens up the door to God doing great things in your life. But the key word is consistency. Are you consistently doing that? Those things that bring about what God wants to do. And that's what we're going to talk about in today's message. I know that I need to think right. I know that I need to do right. It's just difficult to develop that consistency. Does that sound familiar? Have you been through that over and over again? I'm going to get it right this time. And you try for a little while and then you fail. I want you to know that you can still try again. That God has not given up on you. And it's difficult to know exactly what things I should be thinking and doing. What are the right thoughts to think? What are the right things to do? And that is a good question. need to be asking ourselves, what should I be doing? What should I be thinking, God, that's going to glorify you and that is going to let my faith shine? I'm not talking about just mere positive thinking. That's not what faith is. I'm talking about thinking the thoughts that God wants you to think, seeing the world through his eyes, and perceiving your situation in the light of his truth, not the world's truth. In the light of his truth, not your neighbor's truth, not your friend's truth, maybe not even your family's truth. Looking at the world through his truth. Some people try to have a positive mental attitude that's based on nothing stronger than their own wishy-washy worldview. And they have this attitude that says, I have strong enough faith, I won't have any problems. Has that worked out for you? No, it doesn't. They go around saying, I have strong enough faith, so I'll never get sick. God wouldn't do that to me. I have strong enough faith that everything will be easy. God will make sure it's easy. I have strong enough faith that I will always have plenty of money. I have strong enough faith that everything will always go my way. And everybody would say, yeah, right. We've tried that. And life never happens that way. And so am I a broken Christian? Am I somebody who isn't worthy of God's blessing? Am I somebody who God won't answer prayers for? What is the deal with that? Why can't I get over this hump that says, I want to feel that way, and somehow God ought to bless that? And it doesn't take long to find out that's not how faith works. And I've also seen people who zero in on a particular verse of scripture, and they try to take it out of context. They try to define faith by what is completely inconsistent with what that verse is talking about. The verse I'm talking about is Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And I know I said we're going to be over in Romans, we are, but in Matthew 21, 22, Jesus said, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. How many of you have ever read that or heard that verse before? Whatever you believe, you'll receive it when you ask for it in prayer. Seems like an easy formula, doesn't it? It should work that way. And I've heard people and talked to people who use that verse in a lot of crazy ways, in ways that Jesus never meant for his promises to be used that way. Years ago, I heard about a couple who tried to use that verse to get out of having to buy gasoline for the car. Makes sense. God, we're asking you just to make sure our car never runs out of gas. Why would they do that? Because they'd been to a seminar, a Christian seminar, and they heard the story of a pilot who said he was flying across. He was flying out over the ocean, and so there were no places that he could stop at, and all of a sudden he had engine problems, and he looked down and he was out of fuel. And he said very quickly, it was registering empty on his airplane. No, you can't land in the middle of the ocean. And so he started praying about that. He said, God, can you get me to the next place I can land? Because I'm out of options here. And they heard that story and they said, wow, God answered that, because obviously the guy was there telling the story. And so they said, if God can fill an airplane and keep it going or keep a plane going with no gas in it, surely he can do that for our car. And so when they got ready to leave that seminar and go back home, about a 100-mile drive, they said, you know what, we're going to just trust God. We're going to test him in this, and we're not going to get gas. It wasn't because they didn't have money for gas. It wasn't because there weren't gas stations, because they drove by several of them. They finally got out in the middle of nowhere, and sure enough, their engine started to sputter, and then it just stalled and stopped. And then they kept trying to start the car over and over again, and every time they would sort of get it started, it would just stop. Pretty soon, the battery was dead too. And they were crushed. Matthew 21, 22 was a lie. It didn't work. God didn't keep their car going. Now, clearly, that's not how that promise was intended to be given and to be taken. They had applied it wrong. And I've heard it just the opposite way, too, being used. I've heard it used by Christians who are trying to get something. I've heard it by non-believers who are trying to prove the Bible and that God is false. And so they will say, well, if your God is real, and that verse is real, Matthew 21, 22, then when Jesus said, whatever you ask, you receive, why don't you ask God to give you $1 million? Why don't you ask God to feed every person on planet Earth who is hungry so that there is no longer hunger and people are not starving to death? Now, I want to address that just for a minute. Because for sincere believers who sometimes misapply a promise, and for the cynics who distort them for their ammunition against Christianity, it's really a very simple equation that we can understand. Every promise in the Bible, as well as every commandment in the Bible that God gives, must be read not only in the context of the passage where you find it, but it also needs to be in the context of the entire teaching of the scriptures, of the entire Bible. And it must be read with a certain amount of maturity. Let me give you an example. Back when Tim was a teenager, if he had come to his 16th birthday, Tim's our son, Barb and my son, I could have said to him, Tim, tomorrow is your birthday. Well, in fact, I would have said it that day. I would have said, today's your birthday, you're 16. Let me take you out to get something to eat for dinner. In fact, because I love you, you name the place, what you want, and we'll go there. And Tim likes to eat. You've seen him, he's a big boy. He started out at 10 pounds and a half an ounce and just never stopped growing. So I would have looked up and said, okay, where do you want to go? And he probably would have said something like, you know, I want to go with you right now to, let's go, and, you know, I'm hungry, so let's eat within the next hour. And let's go to, oh, I don't know, how about if we go to Office Depot in Des Moines, Idaho, in an hour from now? That wasn't going to happen. And that's what I have to tell him. Tim, I'm sorry, that just can't happen. And he would have said, see, I knew you weren't telling the truth. I knew you were pulling my leg. I knew you wouldn't take me where I wanted to go for the meal that I wanted to have. And it would have seemed out of context that that was right. But if we put it in context, becomes very easy to figure out. What's wrong with this foolish request? Several things. One, Office Depot doesn't serve food. Two, Des Moines is in Iowa, not Idaho. And three, we lived in San Diego at the time, and there was no way to get to Des Moines in an hour. So in this illustration, fortunately, he would have said, okay, then let's go to Al Ranchito, which is right down the street from our church, and let's just have carne asada burritos and I'll be happy. The promises of Scripture are so powerful and so life-changing that it doesn't make any sense at all to try to make them say things that they don't really say, or try to use them in ways that they weren't meant to be used. It's not necessary. Taken in context and applied with spiritual maturity, the promises of Scripture can provide you with the life of your dreams. The question is, how do you know how to apply the promises? How do you do that? How do you apply them? How are you going to figure that out? When Jesus said, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer, there in Matthew 21:22, it was using this as an attempt to get out of buying gas foolishly for this couple. So how do you draw the line? How do you know the difference between a foolish request and genuine faith? How do you develop the right kind of faith? The Apostle Paul tells us here in Romans 10:17, which you thought we'd never get to. In Romans 10:17, Paul said, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. If you want to develop faith, you need to listen to the message of Jesus Christ through the word, and the more you hear the word, the stronger your faith becomes. It really is that simple. It's work on our part, but it is not a hard thing to figure out. People who are strong in the faith and ask God for great things, and he delivers. People who are strong in faith know when a request is right and when it isn't. And they won't ask for God to make their car go without gasoline, but they will ask him to move in their lives in other ways, in more appropriate ways. And the more as your faith grows, so does your wisdom and your discernment. As you start walking through this process, you're going to grow in wisdom, and you're going to be able to discern what is foolish and what is wise. The flip side of not asking God to make the car run without gas is that many people then just stop asking God for anything at all. They asked for something foolish, they didn't receive what was foolish. And so they say, since God's not going to answer that, I'm not asking anything any longer. And they miss out on God's blessings. So I'm not telling you not to ask. I'm telling you to definitely ask, but ask with wisdom and discernment. So how does that happen? Again, Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The more you hear the word of Christ, the stronger your faith becomes. The more you hear the word of Christ, the stronger your faith is going to become. And when I say the word of Christ, what exactly do I mean? I'm going to tell you very quickly here. So you still got 5 points to go, I know. But we're not even halfway through Sunday. No, we're not going to be here very long. If you'll saturate yourself with the Word and do your best to cover all five of these areas consistently, your faith is going to grow in wisdom and discernment. Your faith, you're going to learn how God wants you to think and what God wants you to do, and you're going to develop maturity as a believer, and you will experience God's power in your life. So let me share with you very quickly five areas in which the Word of God will enable you to build bigger in your faith. I'm not going to talk about them a whole lot right now. Next month, we're going to be looking at a series that I'm working on right now on between Sundays. What do we do between Sundays? We come to church on Sunday morning, and then we come to church again the next Sunday morning, because is that all that we need to be doing? And so we're going to be fleshing out a lot of these things and these 5 points in the month of July. And so just hang in there. We're going to get there pretty quickly here. But there's five things in which you can do that are going to help you grow bigger and build bigger in your faith life. The first one is pretty obviously, and that is reading the Bible. You want to grow in your faith life, you got to get in the Word. You got to read the Bible. You need to spend time in it every day. I encourage you, if you're not already doing that, reading the Scripture every day. Make that a part of your routine. And some of you are thinking, man, if I do that, it means I got to read for what, a half hour, an hour, hour and a half? I don't know where I'm going to find the time to do that or the energy to do that. And that's not what I'm asking you to do. If God wants you to do that, and you may grow into that at some point, but I'm just saying, if you got a few minutes, take that few minutes and read God's Word every day. Spend some time in the Word. I don't care whether you do it in a physical Bible book like this, or whether you do it on your cell phone or your tablet or your computer. There's so many different ways to get into God's Word, but you need to be reading God's Word, because you need to hear from Him. And so you need to be in His Word on a regular basis. And so you say, I don't have time to read the Bible through in like 6 months or even a year. Well, you have time to read maybe one psalm or maybe one chapter of the Gospels or read one chapter of Proverbs. But read some every day and let God speak to you. And when you read the Bible, God will honor His Word. He always will honor every minute that you spend in His Word. He's not going to let that go unrewarded. The second thing you need to build into your life is hearing sermons. Read the Bible and then hear sermons. I'm going to give you a promise, and I've given it to you before, and I'm going to keep giving it to you as long as God allows me to be here. When I preach, I'm going to do my best to encourage you in your faith and help you think right things and to do the right things. Every week, that's my prayer as I'm preparing for this moment. On the other hand, I'll be the first to say that if all you get are Pastor Terrell's sermons, it's never enough. It won't be enough. Then you say, well, then why am I here? Because you need to be here. But I will tell you, we all need to hear sermons. And we need to hear them from more than one person. And we happen to live in a time when it's really easy to hear sermons. 20 years ago, not so much. I have books of old guys in my office, Charles Spurgeon and others, who have been in heaven for a long, long time. But I love to read their sermons, and for early in my ministry, that was all we could do. If you couldn't afford to buy a lot of tapes from other people and listen to their sermons, you had to, you know, get a book and read them, and that you can still do that. And you can still pay for tapes or, you know, probably CDs and those types of things. But today, most of us have an internet activity or can get on the internet. And there are you can hear a lot of dead guys preaching still today. You can still hear Billy Graham preaching the gospel. Some of you love to hear David Jeremiah down in El Cajon in San Diego County preaching. You can hear, you pick somebody. I would pick several. You don't have to listen to all of them every week. But you need to listen to other voices as well to see what God is going to say to your life through those people. So you get the word of God through many pastors. Thirdly, listening to Christian music. You want to hear God? You want to hear his word? Make sure you're listening to Christian music. And you can do that every day too. I know many of you do. You listen in your car, you listen in your home. You need to listen to Christian music. But I would encourage you, make sure that the music you're listening to, and it doesn't matter whether it's old hymns or whether it is very edgy music today or somewhere in between, you need to find a genre of music that it's not just something that you like the way it sounds, but that it is based on Scripture. Make sure you're listening to some music where you're going to hear Scripture in that music. And so take advantage of that time that you're listening to make sure that you're hearing God's word as it's singing and as you sing along. And then you need to hear God's word by talking with friends. You talk to friends. Probably everybody in here has at least one friend. You've got more, most of you have a lot of friends. And you need to talk to them. And as you talk to them, you need to pay attention. I have some friends. I know that's hard to believe, but I do have. And some of my friends, I know, will tell me whatever they think I want to hear. Some of the friends I have, I know when I call them or talk to them, they're gonna talk to me and tell me something negative, no matter what they're talking about. And it doesn't matter where or when. You pick up the phone, or you meet them, or even here in church, and you walk over, and the very first words that will be out of their mouth are negative words. And you know that. And then I have friends who, when I talk to them, will talk about nothing but themselves. You ever have a friend like that? I'll call a friend. I have pastor friends that way. I call them. And I say, hey, how are you doing? I haven't talked to you for a while. And they just go on a half an hour about everything about their life. And I just put the phone aside and listen to it on the speaker and go back to work. Because eventually they'll want out of words and they'll say, hey, I got to go. And then I have a few friends who, when I talk to them and speak to them, will answer with wisdom and compassion and honesty. We need to talk to those friends. Somebody who's going to be honest with you, but they are honest with compassion. Because sometimes we need to be told, stop trying to get God to keep your car from running out of gas and stop at the gas station. Sometimes we just need that pep talk. Find those friends, make sure you talk to them on a regular basis. And then fifthly, you're going to grow and build in your faith by speaking your own words. Speaking your own words. You say, what in the world do you mean by that, Pastor Terrell? What do you mean by speaking my own words? I mean, practice speaking the word of Christ instead of saying, this is the worst thing that could ever possibly happen in my life. And if we're honest, we've all said that about a situation or two. I can't imagine how worse things could be than they are right now. And if that's all I'm hearing come out of my lips, that's what I'm going to believe. And so I'm telling myself a lie, and I'm listening to it and believing it. And that seems kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? So instead of telling myself a lie, this is the worst possible thing that could ever happen, you could be saying, I believe God is about to do something great in my life right now. I don't know what it is, but by faith, I believe he's got something better than this right now for me. And so you begin to speak those kinds of words instead of talking to everyone about how bad the news is in your life and in their life. Talk about good news. So I want you to do this. I want you to talk about the possibilities. Talk about what is possible. If God were to work in your life right now, a miracle. Talk about the possibilities and speak words of encouragement and hope and faith. Speak those words to yourself. Speak those words to your friend who is stuck at this is the worst point in my life. And you'll be surprised how much your own words can help you grow in your spiritual walk. Five things to do. Not hard to remember, not hard to figure out. But it's crucial that we hear the word of Christ because that's where faith comes from. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, we come before you with sometimes a lot of brokenness. Brokenness in our lives, brokenness in our faith. Today, Father, we pray that that would change. That we would determine to hear the word of Christ. And that we'll make sure we hear it through the word of Christ. Through the Bible. In all the ways, shapes, and forms that it comes to us, whether it's through reading it, whether it's through listening to sermons, whether it is listening to Christian music, whether it is through talking to Christian friends, whether it's just simply making sure that our words speak your truth so that we hear them coming out of our own mouth. Father, we pray that you would grow us in faith, that you would give us wisdom and discernment. Father, there may be one here, there may be several, there may be people who are in line with us today who are not even sure why they came. But they're hurting. They're hurting because of sin. They're hurting because of lostness in their life. Help them see that Jesus Christ is the answer. The promise of Jesus, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him, is always true. It is always relevant. We pray that right now they would say, Jesus, would you come into my heart? Would you forgive my sin? Would you give me brand new life? A life of hope, a life of faith, a life that will live for eternity. Thank you that you will honor that prayer. We pray these things in Christ's most precious name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. If God's speaking to you, won't you come as we sing?
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.